have anything in the promise of our future but Jesus. So the Lord saints you said, stand up in testimony service. Look like the Lord would just give them songs just hot off the wire. They, maybe out of their prayer life. You know what look rags, but they, what was happening there? Something way down on the inside. One of the old mamas would get up and sing a song. They'd look right at you and say, hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. Come on, let me sing. Hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand.
Thank you.
All of my troubles will be over. I will make a new song. All the morning when I rise, I'll shake the dust from my feet and wipe my weary eyes. I know that my troubles will be over by and by.
Introduce you to the team. We have our founder, none other than Brother Charles Sanford, Mr. Six Eyes himself. We also have Missionary Ken Wolfgang, one of the leading ministers here, and his wife, amen. And so we're here on the program with you today. Greetings, greetings, each of you, by the very means of internet radio. Amen. God bless you, God bless you. Brother Charles, how you doing this godly, wonderful afternoon?
Afternoon, Pastor. I am doing fabulous. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. It's good to hear your voice. That means you made the woke list. I'm not dreaming. I done pinched myself. Amen. I'm still alive.
Yeah.
Amen. And you are too. Amen. Amen.
Yes,
amen.
I'm here.
That's right. That's right. It's good to know. I mean, it's good to know. I have been praying for one of the pastors, mother, and in the middle of the service, we got a call to let us know that she transitioned on to glory. And so it's good to be in the land of the living, able to continue this journey. Amen. 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 We definitely will display that. Amen. Missionary Ken, God bless you, man of God. How you doing on this wonderful afternoon?
I'm doing okay, Pastor Bonnet.
Uh-oh, sounds like you got a little congestion there. But we're going to pray that by the end of this program, amen, that whatever that congestion is, it'll loosen up, it'll let go. Amen. So you can breathe and talk freely. Amen. Whatever it is, amen, we want you to be blessed. Amen. Amen. I know it ain't going to hinder you from praying, but do you want to let your wife pray for you today instead? Or how do you feel about that?
I was going to let Pastor, the Brother Six Eyes have the honor of opening us this morning.
All right. Brother Six, if you do us the honor, amen. Amen. And it is
absolutely
that, man, because if it wasn't for you, amen, this platform would not be here today. And so we want to say thank you for allowing God to put it in your heart so that we can have a praise service, amen, right where we are in our home. Even before the pandemic hit, amen, we know we're getting ready to celebrate 10 years of broadcasting for you, amen. But before the pandemic had even hit, the Six Eyes Gospel Show had coined the phrase, when you get your praise on without leaving the house. Now you got a lot of people that don't want to leave the house, amen. But this program had been going on already, meeting the needs of those that was already isolated for one reason or the other. And so now, in the midst of a pandemic, I believe we're still going stronger than ever before. And so once again, thank you. If you'll open us up in a word of prayer. And Sister Ruth, if you would, as you greet us in your own fashion, give us also a scripture reading for today. That will be greatly appreciated. Amen. In that order.
Absolutely. Amen. Praise you. Thank you, Pastor. Just thanking the Lord for all he does and continue to do for each and every one of us, each one of us that make the woke list. We thank you. We thank you for blessing us, keeping us healthy, keeping us strong, keeping our minds clear, and just pushing us along in our future endeavors, getting rid of our procrastinations as we go along each day, ills of the world, and praying for mankind, the catastrophes that's going on, the fires, the hurricanes, et cetera, the storms. So just praying for continual peace, and we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I got 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay,
amen.
That's 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. Hey, Missionary Ruth Wolfgang, we want to pray for Ken real quick before we go on to our commercial and the rest of the programming. If you would, if you're near him, just go ahead and put your hands on his body, whether it's forehead, his back, as we pray for him that God will touch his body. Amen. Can you do that for us, please? And let us know once you are in contact with him.
Are you with me?
Okay. You there?
All right now. Amen. Right. Yeah. Right.
So we're going to pray. We're about to pray for Missionary Ken, and I just believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says, any sick among you, let them call upon the elders of the church, and they shall pray the prayer of faith upon them. And so I want to pray the prayer of faith, amen, so that he will recover, amen, and that he will be able to bounce back and to continue to do what God has for him to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come, Lord God, asking that you would touch this, our dear brethren. Touch him and strengthen him when he is needed. God, you know his condition because you know his body. But your word tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord God, says his body be a temple for your spirit to dwell in. We ask that you will help him, Lord God, to, Lord God, to clear out any clutter, Lord God, that he may be able to enjoy what you have given him to live and to enjoy this life with. And as you do it, God, it builds up more testimony that you are a still healing God, a deliverance God, a God of joy, a God of peace, oh God. And so as you touch his body now, Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for touching him. Thank you for strengthening him. And any among us that's listening, Lord God, that may be dealing with an issue or physical or mental, God, we pray and we cast the devil out of our own minds and we lay hands on ourselves and we speak by faith that we are healed. You said in your word that you was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon you. And by your stripes, Christ, we are healed. And we receive that healing now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Ruth. Amen. Thank you, Brother Charles. Amen. And let us continue on in this programming today. Amen. We'll be back to fellowship with everyone at the top of the next hour, towards the end of the program. Amen. Let us enjoy what God has for us.
Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
And they go all the way.
And not copyrighted, and just some of them are old saints coming out of the cotton fields. Rest homes, little bowl of beans, piece of cornbread, put a little grease on the face. Rush out to the, what they call the house of prayer. And you know, how many of you remember testimony service? That would go on at least an hour, and you testify and or sing and shout in between every testimony. Repeat the same song until you sort of worked up a Holy Ghost laugh. And they just, I kind of think that some of them, Brother Owens, just would sing back and forth. One person would sing one verse, and somebody would sing another. They'd come in off the fields, and somebody would go, just another day that the Lord has given me. Just
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. That's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
Nobody like you.
And all the
I'll pray.
I'll pray.
Yeah. Come on in, grab a table and spread. And the feast of the Lord is going on. Come on in, grab a table and spread. And the feast of the Lord is going on. Is that the same?
Something about the spirit of unity that comes
It gives us one voice. When we as believers, Christian believers, followers of Christ, when we follow the B-I-B-L-E, that's the Bible, it gives us one voice. We may be different people brought up on different continents, different backgrounds, be it ethnic, financially, etc. We can still have one sound, one voice under God. The emphasis today I want to gravitate to is to talk to you about what influencing me. What's influencing me? What is influencing me? Case in point, we know around December, late November, early December, commercials begin to advertise every sort of toy and using all different types of kids, young and old. And so no matter what program that you're watching on normal TV, when the commercial kicks in, it zooms in to your child's mind. It gives them a picture of another world in a fantasy surrounding that toy. And before the commercial had ended, you have this little person looking at you with anticipation of having that toy. Some may even go say, Daddy, I got to have it. Mommy, I got to have it. Or can I get that? I've been good. And all of a sudden, now, because of the request made by your child, you're about to give them something that they only wanted it because it made an appeal to them or it gathered their influence. It captivated their mind. It caused them to want that toy. There was another level of influence, and this is a bit of a personal testimony. Growing up as a little child, and these are the days where if you had to stay in the house, that was a punishment. We wanted to get out of the house. We wanted to go outside and to play with our friends and neighbors. We wanted to be out and about, not in and stuck. And so because there was an influence in my life of Adam West. Some of y'all are going to catch it in just a moment, those of you that's about my age. Because of the influence of Adam West, I don't care what I was doing, I knew that at a certain time that the sun would get at a certain level in the sky. I didn't have on a watch to tell me what time it was. I had just become accustomed to that a certain time at the sun was at a certain level that my playtime was over, I was going in. We was in the middle of a football game one time and I stopped and said, I gotta go. They said, man, where you gotta go? I said, my show is coming on. Man, come on, keep playing. Nope. I gotta go. My show is coming. What show? Batman. Batman is coming on, and I gotta be there at the same bat time. I gotta have it on the same bat channel, because I want to see the same batch program from the last one. Because I want to see if the Joker was going to get away, if the Penguin was going to get over. I wanted to see what was coming up next. So there was a level of influence that controlled my playtime because of something that piqued my interest. Talking about influence. Many of us grew up with family members that had a certain level of influence in our lives. You know, you had that favorite uncle or that favorite auntie. Y'all know. You may have had that favorite cousin. Uh-huh. That may be this and that, and for whatever reason, whatever they was doing, you wanted to do it. Well, perhaps maybe you was that cousin of interest, or maybe you were that brother of interest, and maybe it seemed like your siblings and your relative wanted to be in your company because you yourself had a level of influence in their lives. So they just simply wanted to hang around you. It's amazing how the body of Christ, the body of Christ, now not the body of Satan, the body of Christ, the believers, it seemed like we're in a day and time, if it had not been for a pandemic, we wouldn't pray like we should pray. Oh, I know I'm about to get in a little trouble, but that's all right. It's only because of the pandemic some of us are praying the way we should. It's only because of economical fallbacks. The reason why we are seeking God, hoping and begging for answers and for breakthrough, because this had a influence on us. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about today, want to deal with how we utilize that influence so that we are on the same page. I won't assume that my definition and your definition are the same definitions, because there may be a cultural difference here. There may be an age difference here. There may be an economical difference here. And so that the enemy doesn't get in the midst of our message today, I want to first of all to define influence. I want to get into what it means, and I want to share that. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead and give you my lesson topic, description for the day, and that is simply, those of you that have your Bibles, Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2. Psalms number 1, verse 1 and 2. We're talking about influence, because there's something about influence that causes us to go after it. But I want to help us today as we do our very best to build this message. Psalms number 1, the first division of Psalm, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, blessed is the man. This man is mankind. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Why? Because many of our influences come from counselors. Be it professional, be it intentional, our influences today comes from someone that is speaking into us our needs and our desires. So the Bible tells us here in Psalms 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, God not afraid of you getting counseling. There's nothing wrong with counseling. It's just that if you are a son of light, a child of God, you do not need counseling from the children of darkness. The devil can't instruct you on nothing. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight, oh my goodness. As believers, what are we delighting ourselves in? Are we delighting ourselves into the Word of God? Let me help us. If every time you open up your Bible and it don't take 5 minutes before you fall asleep of reading it, then you have not delighted yourself in the Word of God. But no argument, just simple facts. If you can go to the doctor's office and pick up a magazine that you don't like, don't know, don't prescribe to, and sit there and read it while you're waiting your turn to be seen, surely you can open up your Bible on your cell phone, on your tablet, and turn to the Word of God and begin to read it also. But I found out we only are attentive to the things that is appealing to us, the things that we want to know, the things that we are going after. So the thing that has a level of influence. Have you ever wanted to see a show so bad and you was tired? Like us black folks say, we were tired. We couldn't even pronounce the whole word. We're just tired. Just plain tired. You made some coffee, you drunk a Coke or some Mountain Dew. You got you some popcorn or some chips or something to make you alert so that you wouldn't miss out on what you wanted to see. Can't say amen, just say out. Talking to the believers, talking to born again believers, those that are the body of Christ. Amen. It's amazing how we can stay woke all day, all night, watching TV. But as soon as we pick up the Word of God to read it, we get sleeping, influencing me. Is the Word of God influencing me, or is the television and those that are supporting whatever program, those that are working or manipulating behind the scenes, are they programming me? I look at the television today, and once upon a time, there was television program that showed good conquering evil. Good conquering evil. The program was always about good guys coming out on top. And regardless of how it started, good always won. But over the past couple of decades, we started seeing programs that started making good bad guys look like good guys. We started seeing programs that would highlight bad people doing something what they call for a good cause. Doing something bad for a good cause. The required result was for that person to be in prison or killed or something supposed to happen to them person, but you end up rooting for them, the bad guy. Something happened where you begin to look at that villain in light. You just begin to gravitate to their misdeeds. Oh, help us today. And I know I'm talking well because as much as I love Marvel and DC Universe, there's always, and you can go to your YouTube today, and you can find your top heroes. But as equally popular as your top heroes, you also have your top bad guys. Bad guys that you love to see. And I said it right. Bad guys that you enjoy seeing. I remember the Dark Knight series as it came about, the 1 year that they had this particular Joker character, this particular actor playing the part of the Joker. They said that this man, I can't remember his name right off the top of my head, so I'm not going to try to call it. But he was in character mode the entire process of the film. While they was making the film, he stayed in character of the Joker. Now, the misfortune is he died. He died. But for all of us that love the Dark Knight series, I say all of us, yes, Pastor Bonnet liked the Dark Knight series. I am a Batman enthusiast. I am, yep, guilty. I told you Adam West left an influence on me. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. And so here it is. Out of all the characters that Batman had to face, his nemesis by far was the Joker. And this particular Joker was so in character that this long movie became short because you were looking towards what he was going to do next. I want you to admit that sometimes life gives us distractions that are so popular in our lives till we forget what we were sent to do because we're so in tune into everything else going on around us till we miss out on what it is we need to be doing. That's influence. Influence does. So let me take us back one more time. I'm going to read it one more time, and then I'm going to give us our definition so that we remain on the same page. Once again, the text says in the book of Psalms, the first division, a song, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. I almost want to ask you the question, what have you been dreaming of? Oh, my goodness. What are you dreaming about? That song, Wishing Upon a Star. What has been in your imagination and why? Now, let me help us today. The word influence is the capacity to have effect, E-F-F-E-C-T, on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. That's what influence means. The capacity to have an effect on the character development or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. So looking at influence, we see three strong words identified with it, and they are effect, E-F-F-E-C-T. And we'll get to the difference between effect and effect in just a second. Number two, impact, I-M-P-A-C-T, and control, C-O-N-T-R-O-L. That's what influence does. Influence, effect, it impacts in order to control. So allow me to add just a few more words associated with influence. To stow away, to hold a power or authority. To master or to dominate over. To have supremacy, leadership, guidance, direction, or to pressure. These are the things that goes along with understanding the power of influence. The word effect is actually a noun. The verb of it is affect, A-F-F-E-C-T, and it means to influence or to have impact on something. It's the verb. It's the action behind it. And effect, E-F-F-E-C-T, is the noun, a positive or negative result of being affected by something. So the effect of the Bible on your life is what you are. The effect, A-F-F-E-C-T, is what are you doing because of it. Has the Word of God impact your life? That word impact is an action of one object coming forcibly into contact with another. In other words, did the Word of God truly meet you for change? Did it develop you? Did it mature you? Has the Word of God inspired you? What positive impact, connection, has the Word of God truly done in your life? Help today, Holy Ghost. We want to make a difference in the world, but the world says we have to dress like this, talk like that, drink this and drink that, or smoke this or smoke that. We have to do this to impact it. When God's word says something contrary to what they are saying. So the question comes back to us again, who's truly impacting my life? Who's truly influencing me to do what it is that I'm doing? Why am I polite when I want to fight? Why am I humble and submissive when you have done me wrong? Who is impacting my life? The monthly emphasis is what is impacting me. I'm not trying to fix you. I need to fix me right now because it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So I got to focus on me. In order for me to help you, I got to first help myself. Any of us that ever flown on an airplane, especially with small kids, one of the first things that they begin to tell you, the stewardess or the stewardess, as they begin to share with us from the do's that we need to be mindful of in the case of an emergency. They let us know that where the exit doors are and whether or not our seat is a flotation device. But then they'll tell us if the cabin loses pressure, then the oxygen mask that is designed above your head, that compartment will open up and some mask will fall down before you. And we know that every mother's first response is that of her child. So they are telling us, I know you love your children, but you can't help them at the cost of your life. You must first, even if you have some elderly traveling along with you, first secure the oxygen mask around yourself, then assist someone else. And that's not a selfish thing. That is a wise thing. Because if you are secure, then you're able to help others better. You're able to think better. You're able to process what's going on a little bit better when you are at peace, when you are stable. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to seek the face of God. That's why we need to understand the word of God so that while we're going through this life and it offers us trouble, we're able to tell somebody it's going to be all right in a little bit. Huh? Or maybe somebody going through a loss of a loved one. Huh? We'll be able to tell them that's all right. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Huh? God said in his word that he's going to wipe every tear away from your eye. So you may cry today, but that's all right. Huh? Your cry won't be always. Huh? There's a time that's coming when God says that there's a time and season for everything. Yes, there's a time to mourn, but there's a time to get up from mourning. There's a time to rejoice. There's a time to celebrate. There is a time to go beyond this trouble. So that even when your hardship comes your way, it's only there for a season. So even when you're going through some things that's hard and seem like you don't know which way to turn or how to get out of that, you just remind that situation, you just got a season here. You're not a permanent resident here. I am. And so since I am a permanent resident here, I'm going to God to ask him, what do I need to do to keep this house in order? Help today, Lord. So we see here influence. It has the word effect to it, the word impact to it, and the word control. So let's get to control. Control is the power to influence. What'd you say, preacher? Control is the power to influence or direct behavior or course of event. Now, like most men, I'm probably guilty of dominating the remote control. Oh, yeah. Thank God that we're living in a time where there's more than one television in the house. Because if there was one television in the house, there would be some issues in life. Oh, I got to tell the whole truth. Because there's some things that my wife may watch that I don't want to watch. And there's some things that I may watch that she don't want to watch. And so somebody got to win in that tug of war. There's some things that my kids want to watch. Well, we're probably guilty because I watch the same thing with them. But every now and then, there's some things that my kids watch that I don't want to watch. Mm-hmm. So, control. So the person that has the remote control has the power to turn the television. Now, once upon a time, you had to get up and go and turn the dial, you know. You had to turn it to whatever station you wanted. But since the remote is how we operate our television today, matter of fact, this digital TV that I have now don't even have a channel button on the back side of it so that you can change the channel if you lost the remote control. So you stuck if you lose the control. Ergo, when you don't have control, you're stuck wherever you are. That's why you can't be mad. You can be angry. You can be upset. You can be disappointed, but never become mad. Because anger is just an expression of dissatisfaction. But madness is when you surrender your behavior to the condition of those that set a parameter for you. So never become mad because you lose control of who you are. And you begin to behave based on the emotion that was dictated to you from someone who affected you a certain way. So you was reactive and never proactive. And so because you reacted to a situation versus just responding to a situation, you lost in the situation when you became mad. You allowed them to control your emotions. That's what happened in all domestic fights. Somebody wins the argument, and usually the one that won the argument, the other person seeks some type of vengeance. So control is the power to influence or to direct people's behavior or the course of an event. Why are all these definitions, you ask? Well, the more you know, the better you can be. When you understand what true effect happens, what impacts happen to you in your life, what things you have surrendered control to, then you are more able to regain control so that you can make the positive impact so that the effect of your life won't be because of what somebody else did, but because of what God told you to do. This is why it's so important. The new question is, what effect has impacted my life and gained control
over all or most of my actions. I'm going to say it again. My new question. What he said has an impact in my life and gain control of all or most of my actions. Hallelujah. Let me go to Luke here real quick, and I know my time is winding up. Let me reopen my Bible here, and let's go to Luke chapter 4. I got to scroll down and search what's in it. Amen. There's a Luke chapter 4. I want to share something with you so positive that it may just be mind-blowing. Luke chapter 4. I want us to understand this, and I'm not going to dissect all of this in Luke chapter 4. Time does not permit. But I want to read and then point out something to you that you may meditate on it in your time of worship and fellowship with God the Father. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Who led him into the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. Now, verse 2 says, "Being 40 days tempted of the devil." How many days? 40. Not 4, 0. That's more than a month. So, "being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days," which days? The 40. "In those days he did eat nothing." How much is nothing? Somebody say 0. "And when they were ended, he afterward hungered." Some of us, if we go 4 hours without eating, we declare that we hungry. But he gone 40 days. So he was sure enough hungry. Now, I want to point out something to us. The Bible says that there has been no temptation that have come to us, talking about you and I, that is not common to men. In other words, you are not the only one in the world that's been tempted the way you are being tempted now. Somebody else has met that same type of temptation. May be a different scenario, different people, but they are the same set parameters. But I want to read on so that we'll understand Christ is embodied as God the Son, the Anointed One. Yes, he was born into creation, a man, but he was tempted here in verse 2. The levels of temptation that he experienced as an angelic being, not an angel, but as a spiritual being, they are not even mentioned to us because the devil is not even permitted to tempt us on a spiritual level.
He only he's only can tempt us in the physical realm of this natural flesh. So we don't even have a clue of how he deceived a third of the heavenly host. But whatever he had influence. He had the power to change things that was unchangeable. Because they weren't given free will like we are. They were born, or they were created, rather, with a set purpose. But somehow, Satan's influence to them was on a level to deceive them or to control them because of what effect he had. We don't know what it is. But for 40 days, Jesus did. But what is told to us, verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command. He's already tempted him. So where this part 2 comes in at? This part 2 comes in to allow us to know that Satan is only allowed to tempt us on one of three areas: to the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I have to stop there because if I read any more, I'm just going to preach the whole text. So I want you to understand that whatever is influencing you in you by the word of God is the power to overcome it. I'm going to say it again. Whatever is influencing you right now, us right now, in us by the word of God, is the power to overcome it, to subdue it, to have dominion over it, to not succumb to it. God has given us our free will, and that free will gives us the right to choose. That's why the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do right and choose to do wrong, to him it is sin. Because no matter how great the temptation is, the option to do right is always there. You, me, we just have to choose to do it God's way. We have to choose to be right, not in our sight, but in his. God loves us. And grace gives us the opportunity to keep repenting. Grace gives us the opportunity to ask God how to become better. Grace is not our license to sin, but it is our opportunity to get right. I don't know what your personal relationship with God today is. I don't even know if you believe there is a God. I don't know why you turned on this program today. I don't know why you're listening. Maybe it was some music that was played. Maybe your remote got stuck. I don't know. Maybe whatever you was doing, you wasn't able to change the channel. However you got here, you're here now. I want to encourage you to try Jesus. To try him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even think. Yes, I know that Jesus is the Christ. And I can call him Yeshua, which means the Word. But the simple matter is, to call upon his name is not the literal translation. It is to call upon his character. Why? Because Malachi tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is not two-faced. He is not many-faced. God is not an actor on a stage that for each set he changes a mask to play another part. But God is the one that spoke into nothing. And all that is came to be. God is the one that gave you and I the right to love him or to hate him, to accept him or to reject him. Somebody may think, well, that's not a wise decision for God. All I know is it may not be a wise decision, but it is a loving decision. The Bible says he commanded his love towards us. That means to me that God can't hate me even if I did deserve it. Glory. Hate me even if I had deserved to be hated. He can't hate me because he has already commanded his love towards me. And if he said it, that settles it. Amen. So I want you to be encouraged that no matter what your life used to be or is right now, that the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. So God is able to redeem you or to make you new today. Even with dirty clothes on, he's able to make you clean today. Now the decision afterwards must be one of gratitude that you don't allow just the inside to be clean and keep on dirty clothes. No, because the inside is clean. You clean the outside as well. And you put on new clothes. Christ Jesus paid our debt for sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So that's what we offer you today. We offer you Christ. We encourage you. We applaud you. And hopefully we have some influence in your life that you will make the conscious decision to choose Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you do it, you'll be made new. And he'll teach you by the Holy Spirit how to live a better and more productive life according to his own will. Hey, thank you for allowing me this opportunity to minister to you. We're going into our fellowship time today. Amen. God bless you. Let me open up the mics to those that are here with us now. And I just want to again say thank you for the opportunity to minister to you as we're in our fellowship time. You're welcome to ask questions, make comments. Amen. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you. Love you with the love of Christ. Amen and amen. Brother Charles, all the lines are open.
Amen. Thank you for that beautiful message. Influence. What is influence to you? Well, to me today, Tasty's Cookies Coffee has influenced me to have a cup of coffee. So thank you, Tasty's Choice. Yes. So I'm having coffee as we speak. I'm under the air, and my cousin is here visiting me, Brother Brent. So he's here. Hey, Brother Brent, amen. Amen. He'll be over shortly.
Amen.
So he's here. Yeah. So he enjoyed the message, but I'll let him tell you that himself once he comes near the phone.
All right. Well, I pray that he did. I pray that all of us enjoyed it. Wonderful topic. With the help of the Lord, we want to talk about all month long in some way, shape, and form. We want to talk about influences. You know, there's negative influences, there's positive influence, and it should be each of our desire to be positively influenced and to be a positive influence.
Absolutely.
So in this world.
Yeah, and I feel this radio station has been a positive influence on the world, the many countries that we are in, the lives that we touch. And I think it's only fitting that for 10 years of being on air for the Six Eyes Radio Network, so if there's anybody that's listening that's going to listen later on, and we are available on Apple Music. So for those who have an iPhone, all you have to do is say play the Six Eyes Radio. We'll get to tell you about that. We're on Podbean. We're also on iHeart. So even if you have Android, all you have to do is say play Six Eyes Radio. But for those who may want to give a contribution that's listening on the line, that's going to listen later from our many countries we're in, you have two options. If you utilize the Cash App, that would be $SIXEYES, the digit number 4. And if you have PayPal, that would be the email address, SIXEYES6@gmail.com. And whatever you give will be greatly appreciated to help us keep you bringing great programs to you. And I'm amen.
Amen.
I don't know if that's or what that is.
Amen. That we may sow into the broadcast. Amen. I will be doing it again. Amen. Shortly here. Amen. Well, do anybody know the scripture that was read in the beginning of the program?
That was Psalm.
Not my scripture, the opening scripture.
Oh. The opening scripture. You talked about Luke. You talked about Luke.
Let me be more specific. The one that Ruth read.
I give you guys a hint. It has to do with the rapture.
Revelation.
Not quite. No, you're a little bit too high. Got to come back lower.
Okay.
I think she read out of Thessalonians.
1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 18.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that.
There it is. Amen. Well, you sound a little bit better. That came through very loud and clear.
All right, we think the wolf is back. All right, amen. You know. So, we will find out tomorrow on Motivation of Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. So, we'll find out if his voice is back tomorrow.
If you hear this, folks,
all right, we always want to start off testifying. I'd like to do this. I'm being Pastor Bonnet right now. I believe I testify. Well, I have a chance. I did it. I'll get
I
believe I'll
testify.
Well, I have a chance. Now, if you hear that tomorrow, he's back. Amen.
You did a good job, buddy.
It can be back, man.
You think that now? That's how we're gonna know if he's back.
That's it. If we hear my little echo.
Oh yeah, I can't wait for y'all to be on stage. K and K, the two Ken. I'm telling you, that's gonna be something.
Man, I tell you, we need to be setting up trying to do a type of fall revival down in, up in Ohio, in you all's guys' area. That will be a wonderful opportunity to come up and see you all and have a revival there to just be a blessing to the people in that community with the word of God and the power of God coming. Just to empower them and to impact them where they are. What do you think about it, Brother Shaw?
I think that is great. I think that is great. Let's make it happen. And Brother Brent, are you anywhere near us? Praise God. Okay, so he'll be coming shortly. So we can introduce him. So and maybe he wants to share his story. It's pretty awesome.
Amen.
Brother Brett. Amen. And let me give you the phone. All right.
Amen, brothers and sisters. How you doing today?
Good, good, good. God bless you. How are you?
I'm great. You know, living in grace.
Amen. Amen.
I was listening to some of it on what you was speaking on.
All right.
And I believe you was in Luke.
I ended up in Luke.
Okay. And what you were speaking on was very true. In the Word. And to me,
amen.
We have to live in today's society, we have to live in, I call it the Ten Commandments. If you're living in the Ten Commandments, you're living right. You're living right. That's how you fucking live. So, I speak on it all the time. I know we come into the world in sin, but obey his law. And we obey his law and obey him. Obey to heaven, right?
Amen. Amen. There's two commandments that if you obey those two commandments alone, it will filter down to every commandment God has ever given mankind.
And which one is that, Pastor? Which two?
Well,
is
the first one you should know, what is the greatest of commandments of all?
Okay.
The greatest of the commandments is to love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul, mind, and might.
That's right.
And him only shall you serve.
That's right. That's right.
That's the first and greatest of all the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is likened unto it. To love thy
neighbor
as thyself.
That's right.
For all of the law, the commandments, and the prophets hinge upon these.
Yes, sir.
I know it because that's what Christ said.
That's right. Okay.
So, you know, somebody might get lost in the ten. And if they try to follow the Mosaic law, they sure enough might get lost because that's 620 different laws.
Yeah. Right.
And so if they try to follow man's law, well, it changed depending on who's in authority.
Yes,
so they might get it today and miss it tomorrow. But blessed be the name of the Most High.
The Most High.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changed not.
Come on now.
His love for us today is the same from the beginning of creation. He said within his triune being, let us make man in our image and after our likeness and give them dominion. Yeah, glory to God. In other words, we was created to resemble him and to operate in a power and authority given by him.
By him.
This world belongs to our daddy. And just like I wouldn't let you come into my father's house and make a mess and do whatever you want to do without addressing you, so should we be in this world today. They can do what they want to do, but we need to be able to speak up and say, hey, daddy don't want that. Now, you can do what you want to do, but you won't be able to tell daddy I didn't tell you.
That's right. That's right. Speak on it now. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen. Y'all going to make me preach.
To leave.
For the listeners, Pastor and Ken and all the listeners, you heard me talk about my cousin Chris. Well, this is the brother Sean.
Yes, sir.
I say, this him. He be the one.
Yeah, man.
Help. Him being the one that you were talking all that stuff about. Ooh, wait till we get off the air. I'm going to tell him what else you said. Nah, I'm
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
him. I explained to my brother that he don't really understand, and I hope he have a changed mind when he come out of this. on how grace and God took his life. So he got a chance to live by his grace, you know. And I'm really praying for us, you know. That's what
praying for what?
A mind change, a mindset change.
Okay. See, okay.
I hope you come out of this, you know, a changed mind, a changed set in his mind. Or
well,
who saved him and who got him here, you know.
Amen. We all need that. That's that's the gist of Christ's message. He said, repent. He told us to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word repentance don't mean say I'm sorry. He didn't say apologize.
That's right.
You can apologize. You can slap somebody and say, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
But your heart said, I'm going to do it again. Wait till they step out of line, and you'll do it again. Because you apologized. You didn't repent. See, that repentance means change of mind. Think
change
again.
Of mind. Yes.
So in other words, when we apologize, when we repent to God, we rethink how we did what we did. And we realize it is not what he told us to do. It is not what he wanted us to do. So we stop doing it because we want to please him.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because he's our God, and we're living to please him. And we're not living for God to please us. So we even have to change the way we pray. Because sometimes we pray and we just tell God everything we want, as if God got to please us. And the question is, who made who now? Come on. You made him or he made you? You know?
Yeah.
This is not the God of the heathens where I had to carve you out and set you on a pedestal, and if the wind blew hard, I had to come stand you back up. Nah. This is the God that shaped me and molded me from the dirt, breathed into my nostrils, and I became the living soul. This is he who spoke into my life. Live. So since he spoke into us, live, and to be, and that's who we need to give homage to. That's who we need to surrender to, him that had designed us. Amen. You know, if you ever had the money to go buy a Bentley, brand new off the floor, straight from the factory, when they deliver it to you, it's coming first class to you. These new programs, they ain't got nothing on how they deliver that. If something was wrong to it, and you got your old Ford F-150 in the garage to do your labor with, you're not finna take it to the mechanic that works on your Ford shop, your Ford truck. He might be a good mechanic, but you're not finna take that Bentley to that Ford mechanic. You're getting back on the phone and you're gonna call the manufacturer. Why? Because the manufacturer knows what should be where and where should, what it should be doing, how it should be doing. It gonna know everything about it. It gonna know what's working right and what's not. You're not gonna take it to a secondhand person. I don't care how good they is. You're gonna take it directly back to the manufacturer. Why? Because it's too valuable to take it anywhere else.
Yep.
You gotta look at your life like that. My life is too valuable to keep just going to everybody else. I need to take my life back to the manufacturer, the one that built me, the one that made me, the one that created me, the one that knows my kicks and my hang-ups and my attitude issues. I need to take my life back to the manufacturer. Why? Because only he can set it right. Yeah. You might be able to give me some good suggestions. We ain't gonna harm you with that. You may even be able to change my oil. I ain't gonna argue with that. You might be able to top off some other fluids around there, but you'll never be able to put me like the manufacturer did, because you're not the manufacturer.
Come on now. Yeah. Right.
So there's coming an opportunity in a time where people got to understand, if you really want your life, you got to go to He who gave the life.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is an imitation.
That's
a knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
And it may do for a moment, but it won't last.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother. Amen.
Anyway, Sister Ruth, I know we're at the end of our time, and we didn't do our bloodhound scripture, our pepper trap. Yes, sir. All right. And so, Sister Ruth, if you want to give us our bloodhound of scripture from last week, that we may search it out today if we have it, and to get the one for next week.
Okay, I'm here. Okay, all the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. I could do it again.
Okay.
All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee.
The first fruit which I offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. That is a pepper trap.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the 66 books, but don't head for the maps. I've been doing some studying. I've been doing some study on Petra and Edom and Seir, and I think they're all the same. But you guys would probably know more than I would. At least I know Pastor Bonnet would probably know. But my brother Tim Groover went over to Petra. He's seen it. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah?
And that's where I really believe that the Israelites are going to flee to during the time of the Antichrist. And it's going to be Petra. Because it's a really good enclosed area, and they could really hide in there. I mean, it's really, I think it's possible. Just a guess.
Okay.
But
is that over in Africa?
Huh?
Is Petra over in Africa?
Actually, I'm trying to think right now.
In Israel.
It's close to Israel, yeah. Because the Antichrist is going to try to go after them, and they're going to hide there.
But anyway, I'll give you a hint on this pepper trap. He's not talking to the average Joe. Well, naturally talking to the Leviticus priesthood.
Right.
But I can't remember what that. And I had just studied that this week, but I can't remember because I can't remember right now off the top of my head. So
all right, go ahead and give it to him. Tell him where it's at.
Okay, it's Numbers chapter 18 and verse 12.
So
Numbers
18
and verse 12.
Numbers 18. That's why it was familiar. See, I'm still in I just got over into number yesterday. So, yeah, I'm on number 5. So I wasn't quite there yet. Yeah, I'm dealing with the purity of Israel as he was giving instructions on what to do for the purification. That's good, Sister Ruth. Nobody got it right.
You got to put the thunder on, hon, and get it to blow up, remember? Oh, we have so much fun on Friday nights. You know, we just get carried away. Six does a fantastic job. He sounds like as if he's a preacher. He's doing a good job. I'm going to brag on you, buddy.
All right.
That's right.
So
that's right.
What's our next
right.
one for next week, Ruby?
Okay, you guys will like this because I think it's a little easier. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent.
Okay, read that again, Ruthie.
Okay, well, because we're studying about drinking. That's why this scripture came in. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent.
So it's kind of short. I think you need to read that one more time just so they can get it.
Okay. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent.
That's all the hint you guys get.
Man, that one was by far way easier, period.
Yep.
That was definitely easier.
Yeah, but I think you guys will get that one. I have lots of confidence in y'all.
Yeah, I got that one already. Before you finished it, when you say he was drunk in his tent and was uncovered, that was it. Because that's
all right. We'll find out next week if you got it.
But I didn't learn I learned something from Kenny that time when he talked about this, though, that I didn't know that Noah or Lot, I think it was Noah, was attacked by his own sons.
Grandson. Yep. Because the King James don't have a word for grandson. But anyway, don't want to get no more clues. So that's a good one. That is a good
that
one.
That was mean. He attacked his own grandson? I mean, my own father? Grandfather?
Well, she already gave the first clue.
Uh-huh.
Unaware. And if I give it again, everybody going to know where it's at.
Amen.
this particular fellow was in a situation and he actually was depressed.
Uh-huh.
And being depressed, he drank more than normal.
Okay.
And it left him exposed.
Okay.
And his exposure was exposed to others, which
uh-huh.
was, you know, a little kid walking in on their mom and daddy, and then they go tell the whole neighborhood that ain't for them to do right. And so the attack
right.
was that type of nature that he told the camp, can you believe this? No, you know. Such. But he was exposed in his own tent. It wasn't as if he was roaming the city, flashing people, nothing like that. And so a judgment was made that placed a curse upon that side of the family. That's the short version of it, period. So if you listen to the Friday programs, you'll most likely get to hear more about this particular story with Missionary Ken Wolfgang and Sister Ruth Wolfgang and her Bible prophecies. Tune in to the Six Eyes channel, and there will be more for you to learn. There's other great programming here provided by the Six Eyes Gospel Program. God bless you. God keep you. We're thanking you for joining us today. It has been our pleasure to fellowship with you in Christ. We pray that he is touching your heart, blessing your life, that the peace of God will stay with you and help you to overcome all the obstacles that comes to push you backwards, so that you may continue to press forward. The Bible says, I press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. So keep on pressing. Don't stop down. You're further ahead than you think. When you look back, it's too far to even think about going back. So keep on pressing forward. We love you. God bless and God keep you. Amen. See you all on tomorrow's program with Motivational Monday with yours truly. God bless you.
Bless you too, everybody.